And Pastor Dave's going to give an update on that. As usual, men's Bible study at 6 p.m. on Monday. And I understand there were 13 people there this past week. And Wednesday prayer meeting at 7 p.m. There's information in the bulletin about a grant-funded food pickup that is available to everyone, any household size and any income level. Shay has got it Mickey Moused out for you if you're interested in how easy that is to do that. And now we're going to let Pastor Dave do the bathroom update.
So bathrooms, we have a functioning, working ladies' bathroom. Yay! Sorry, gentlemen. We gave the ladies the priority on that one. We had a little snag in the road in our construction. Last Monday, our vanities were slated to arrive, and two big boxes showed up, and so I thought, yes, they're here. Well, Tuesday, we opened the box, and in one box is one vanity, and in the other box is one sink top. Why is there only one? Well, good old Shay, she gets on the line, and sure enough, she checked the order, and we had ordered two, and they only delivered one, and one of them has disappeared into the Twilight Zone. How you lose a box this big, I don't know. There were two of them, but they have poof. So we had to reorder, and we have the second one coming, and it should get here. Oh, it's going to be a week and a half. But it is coming, so men, for now, we're asking you to work with us, and you can still use the bathroom that's off of the infant nursery, or you can use the bathroom that is just through the pastor's office in the back corner. Tom Brazell announced to me that one week I announced that if you needed to use the bathroom, you could use the back corner of the pastor's office. That's not what I meant, and no, you're not allowed to do that. But there is a bathroom back there that you are welcome to use. Oh, God help us. So, blessed are the mirthful. And our new sign, did you see the sign on Route 19? I like it because it just, Wellsville Full Gospel Church, that way. And the old one was pretty, but you know, and when you drive by it, you don't catch it quick. We have another really, really nice big sign coming. Did you see the frame down here? The frame is in, the concrete is setting, and we've got a nice, nice, big, beautiful Welcome to Full Gospel Church sign coming. It'll be here sometime. I think it's slated to arrive August 7th. So after all this time, remember Judy? We're finally going to get some new signs, and I'm really excited about that. Praise God. Denise,
so,
come on back.
Can I have a couple of volunteers to do the offering? Carl, thank you, and Eric. One of you want to pray and bless that?
Oh, all right. Dear Lord, I pray that, well, all this money goes to good use and where it needs to go, and I don't have much else to say, but thank you, in the Lord's name, pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Eric. And the
behind the table.
You might remember that a number of weeks ago I gave a homework assignment, and I asked people to take some time and create a faith story. Not create, we should say it that way, but pray and ask the Lord to remind you of a faith story that where God has met you and helped you, and something that you would be able to share with somebody that doesn't believe that could stir them up. And Mary Hayden had a faith story, so I'm going to ask her, but you got to remember the rule, you got to keep it 3 minutes.
I'm going to have Eric symbol, find me when I'm getting close.
Okay, so on the format here, this happened a lot when I was doing the nursing home ministry. I would have a message, and like the morning of it, God would change my direction. It'd still be the same message, but that happened to me, so bear with me. So the first question was, what was the issue that you were dealing with? And I had written a difficult relationship tied with financial worries. And I'm just going to kind of read off my thing so I don't go beyond my time. It was so bad, that relationship was so bad, that a Christian sister said to me that it was like watching me die a little more every week. And along that same time frame, I had come forward before the church and told them that Family Life Network was doing a program called The Healing Journey, which I and this person went and did. But the thing that I took away from that many years ago, guys, has still stuck with me. And what that whole program, the basis of that whole program is that somewhere along the line, we get messed up with seeing God as our provider, our protector, and our power source. And Jesus himself was tempted in those same areas. You know, when Jesus came out of the wilderness, Satan knew he was hungry. He hadn't eaten in a long time. So he tempted him with providing, hey, I'll turn these stones into bread for you. And protector, I'll throw yourself down and the angels will help you. And, power. I've got all this and I'll give it to you if you'll worship me. So that kind of helped me a lot during this, that not only am I being tempted in this area, but Jesus himself was tempted, and I believe all of us are. Well, then it says on the question, describe the situation. Well, I don't really think I need to. It doesn't matter anymore. That's what I wrote. It doesn't matter anymore because God completely delivered me from that. And not only did he completely deliver me from it, permanently delivered me from it. I'll give you an example in a minute. There was a song from when I was a child that Pastor Dave's probably going to know. He's healed my heart. He's healed my body. He's healed my mind. He's healed every part of me, guys, and I'm so very grateful for that. Now, proof of this deliverance and healing, I've had a cleaning job for probably a year and a half for this logger. In exchange for cleaning for him, I would get my firewood. So, see, there's a little bit of boundary that's blurred there to begin with already. Well, this person is not saved and has a very, very vulgar mouth, which the Lord has been speaking to me about that as well. But he, just this past week, actually the week before, had a two-year-old temper tantrum over something very insignificant, and immediately the Lord said to me, that familiar spirit has no more control over you. I'm done. I'm not mad, I'm not hurt, I'm just plain done. That's done. I don't need that. So to me, it was proof that God truly had healed me. Because see, that's tied into my finances. It's tied into my, firewood. Well, there's Amish all around that have firewood. What's the big deal? Okay, so this is where the Lord spoke to me in a different thing this morning. I'm driving down here, and there's this big hot air balloon that's sitting beside the river. And the balloon is still up, so I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if it had just landed. There's cars along the side. And the scripture that came across my phone this morning, basically, is that man makes his plan, but God directs his steps. Well, I don't know that that balloon really intended to land right there, but it did, safely, it looked like. And the Lord also spoke with me that this is something I've had to learn my entire life, that being alone is not the same thing as being lonely. Now, there's a lot of women in this church that have been in my shoes or are in my shoes where you are physically alone, but it's totally different than being lonely. And that's something the Lord is healing. I actually really enjoy my home, and to be honest, I kind of enjoy the aloneness. It's probably tied in with not having anybody tell me what to do, but it could be, but I have two bedrooms that I'm wanting to rent out, and I keep saying, Lord, you got to bring just the right person for this because you're the one that's making me be okay with my aloneness. So, side note, I have a sign in my bedroom that just simply says, choose joy. You know, along the lines of that situation that I was in where I literally felt like I was dying emotionally, mentally, spiritually, having joy now and laughter now is so, so incredibly good. So this is just a real quick story. I love it. I love being able to laugh at myself. I filled up this 5-gallon bucket in my house with cat food. I can't leave the bag inside that doesn't fit because the cat will get in it and have it all over. So I said, all right, I'll just stick it in my car when it gets lower. You know, I'll fill it, finish filling it. So it's in the back seat, you know, behind the back seat on the floor. Well, you know where this is already going because I had a bag of cashews back there too. And I'm driving along the other day and I'm like, man, I'm really kind of hungry. And I reach behind the seat and I get the handful, pop it in my mouth. And I'm like, these are really dry and crunchy. And I look and sure enough, I have a handful of cat food. I love, absolutely love being able to laugh at myself. I just think it's great.
Amen. Thank you.
Can you stay under 3 minutes?
You did awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Did you hear the Lord speak? I mean, obviously there's a lot that the Lord was saying in her testimony, but that one thing you said that just lit up in the sky to me, you can be alone, but you don't have to be lonely. Can you grab hold of that? We have a whole bunch of people in here that live alone. But even though you might be alone, you don't have to be lonely if you're in Christ. That was wonderful.
And,
yes. Sorry, guys, I'm wearing a lot of hats today. I'm also the sound man. And I appear to be feeding back a little bit. I'm going to put it down just a little. All right. Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Hopefully that will work. Amen. You can be alone and not lonely. I think about Paul in prison. He was in prison. Peter was in prison. Oh, my wife is waving. Any kids that want to come to Kids Church, come on down. Okay, we've got a couple. All right. So, thinking about Paul being alone in that prison, but not alone. Peter being alone in the prison, but not alone. And you can be alone, but the scripture says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Praise his name. All right, so I'm going to attempt to do this too because we don't have anybody to run computer. This is one of those days, man. I'm going to try to click my own way through this. We have a few prayer needs today that I'd like to lift up. Denise Wallstorff has for the last while been very sick with COVID-like symptoms. And Ed texted me last night and said, well, my test came back positive. And Adam has been around over at their house, so he's not here either. And we have Tom and Judy Brazell traveling and just people here and there. Shay Reagan got in late last night. So let's pray, especially for Ed and Denise Wallstorff. This has been kind of a haul for them and any other needs that you may have on your heart. Father, we thank you today that your grace is greater, that we're never alone. And Father, that we can, as Randy shared, we can look to you. We can turn to you. We can face heavenward and find our help, find our comfort. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for it. Today we lift up Ed and Denise Wallstorff to you. We pray that you would touch their bodies, Lord. Father, that you would help them, encourage them, deliver them from this miserable illness. God, that it would be gone from them and be gone from their house. Lord, I pray you keep Adam well, Lord. I pray that you would rid their home of sickness. In the name of Jesus. God, we pray you'd be with the Brazels as they're traveling. Father, use them as they go. We pray, I don't see our sister Luann here today. God, we pray that you would touch her body and help her, Father, and deliver her from pain. Pray that you would help her. Thank you for our sister's faithfulness, Lord. God, I never hear her complain, but yet she has needs, and we pray that you would touch her today, Father. Bless and restore the Reagan family today too. Encourage them. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking for a number of weeks now about evangelism. And today I just want to give you, I'm not going to teach you anything new, I don't think. I don't think it'll be anything really new. But I want to really encourage you and just give you some tools to share and how to share. And I'm going to give you some ideas, some methods. They're by no means the only way. It's just an example to kind of help you, maybe to get you jump started, give you a way to if you haven't had much opportunity to share your faith with other people, to be able to do that and to kind of just have your spiritual ears open when you're talking to people. Say, oh, I could mention the Lord here. God helped me with that problem. Oh, I could share some. Oh, there's a prayer need. I could pray for that person. But get that spiritual antenna up and be listening. And for what I'm going to do today, I'm going to ask Curtis, you would help me probably, and Denny, maybe you could help me. I have a bunch of stuff to pass out to you. I have lots of materials for you today. And Curtis, if you could give everybody one of those, that would be wonderful. And Denny, if you could run around and give everybody one of those. You won't need to look at it right away, but I just want you to have it in your hand. In a little bit, we'll kind of get to that. And I'm really hoping that I can do this right from here. A miracle has happened. I did it. When we were at PCF, at Pioneer Christian Fellowship, Pastor Jeff Hokanson, they had much more elaborate system. I mean, church of 600 people. I mean, they got front projectors, middle screens, they had everything. And he would hold that thing, and he could not click his way through that to save his. Somebody every week would have to come and rescue him. Oh, he was an awesome teacher, but for some reason that thing just never worked very well for him. As this stuff is coming around, and thank you guys for helping me with that. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but you can just sort of put that aside for the moment. Last week we looked at the steps Jesus took in sharing with the woman at the well. And remember, I don't want to reiterate all of that, but if you didn't hear it, if you weren't here last week, you can when Dean Perry gets back from the Philippines, he'll upload all of these messages. I believe it got recorded. When Dean's not around, it's sort of a guess as to whether I did it right. Most of the time I do, some of the times I don't. We have a wonderful example of Jesus going and sharing with an unbeliever in a one-on-one setting, and the principles that are there are so wonderful. So if you want to, thank you. And if you want, we'll probably stick these on the table in the back. Thank you for that. After Jesus spoke with her and revealed to her that he was the Messiah, John 4:25-26, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus answered, I who speak to you am he. How many times in the scriptures did Jesus reveal himself like that? Not very many times. Peter confessed it to Jesus. But this is one of the only times that Jesus actually said, hey, I am the Messiah. Here I am. That's pretty incredible. And so what happens to her after that? All of a sudden, she becomes a flaming evangelist. It's pretty cool. Please work. Verse 28 of that chapter, then the woman left her water jar, which they wouldn't normally do. Those water jars were pretty precious. But they were really heavy. And she didn't want to carry that thing all the way back because she was really stoked about what Jesus just said to her. So she left her water jar, went back into the town and said to the people, what is the people? It means she ran around like a chicken with her head cut off telling everybody, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Christ? Now, did she come into town and say, I've met the Lord, and you all need to repent of your sins and follow Jesus? She doesn't do any of that. What does she say? She said, come see this really cool guy. Come see. Look what he did for me. So what does she do? She shared her testimony. That's it. She didn't preach to him. She didn't tell them to repent. She didn't tell them they were wrong. She didn't tell them that they needed to do anything except, hey, come see this cool guy. This is what he did for me. It's unbelievable. And it was pretty unbelievable. And that was her testimony. What was the effect of her testimony? She left her jar, runs into town, and she's telling everybody. What was the effect? Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. It doesn't tell us how many, but you know, when the word many appears in the scripture, I think it often means a whole lot bigger than a lot smaller. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans, can you imagine the herd that must have come out of the town? Oh, everybody's trooping out to see this guy now. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. It's bad enough that he talked to a woman, a Samaritan woman, at the well. But now he's going to go to Samaria and stay with them for 2 days. What is he thinking? Well, they needed to know him. Samaritans, though, oh my goodness. If you don't understand the whole Samaritan thing, listen to the message last week. But many, and verse 41, and many more believed because of his message. They said to the woman, we now believe not only because of your words, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man truly is the Savior of the world. Wow! And what did she do? All she did was, look, go see him, go see him. This is what he did. And the joy that was coming out of her. Wow. The power of your testimony. Do not underestimate the power of your testimony. Do you know, some people tell me, oh, well, I have a really boring testimony, you know. Well, did you get saved? Yeah. Well, did he deliver you from your sin? Yeah. Has he changed your life? Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Then you have an awesome testimony. Some people feel like, well, if I didn't rob, murder, rape, steal, and burn things down, and then get saved, and my life has changed, that I don't have a testimony. Oh, yeah, you do. And God has just the people that need to hear your testimony. The very people that need to hear your testimony of what God has done for you. Oh, whew. And if you put up that spiritual antenna, God's going to give you opportunities. And if you'll be faithful to pray and ask God, He's going to give you opportunities to share that testimony. You might not get to share the whole thing, but you might get to share a piece of it. You know what the scripture says? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Ooh, give them a little nibble. Now, don't try to cram the whole Hershey bar down their throat. Nobody likes that. Here, open up. They don't want that. But give them a taste of something that's really good. What has God done? We believe that God is a miracle-working God. Has He done miracles in your life? I've had the Lord heal me. I've had the Lord speak to me, provide for me. Wow. And it's undeniably God and miraculous. And He's done it in my life. He's done it in your life. Can we take a moment to just do a little Bible study about testimonies? Just a little Bible study, if that's okay. I want to look first at John, 1 John 5, and it's 9 through 11. Even if we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony that God has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son has this testimony within him. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given about His Son. Well, what is this testimony? And this is that testimony. God has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. Has God given you eternal life? Has He delivered you from death to life? Oh, you have a testimony. Powerful, powerful testimony. John 15, 26 through 27. When the advocate, there's a lot of different, if you look in your Bible, you may see advocate, comforter, helper. What is it talking about? The Holy Spirit. When the advocate, the comforter, the helper, the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Now, there is a tremendous encouragement in this verse because it says you also must testify. Now, what the word testify, what does it mean? It's the Greek word martyreo. It just means to give evidence, to give a good, bring a good report, or to be a witness. Tell what has happened. Report what has happened. Like if you go to court and you're a witness, you just tell what happened. But the really encouraging thing about this is it says the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. So it's not just us testifying. It's the Holy Spirit that goes before us. It's that we are in partnership with the Lord. And when you share your testimony, the Holy Spirit is going to work in people's hearts. He's probably already working in their heart before you ever get there. The Spirit of God bears testimony to people's hearts. And when you speak, you can trust that the Holy Spirit is already at work. It doesn't matter whether you recognize it or you can even see any evidence at all. It doesn't matter. Have faith, believe that this is true. The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. Mark 5, 18 through 20, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with Him. Remember the Gadarene demoniac, the naked guy? Screaming and howling and in chains, and people tried to bind him and they couldn't. And Jesus commanded the spirits to come out. And where did they go? Into the pigs. When I was a little kid, I'd ask my mom to read me a Bible story. What story do I always want to hear? How the spirits went into the pigs and they all run off the cliff. And for some reason, that was when I was a kid. I always wanted to hear that story. I don't know why. But the man is delivered. The demons have come. The legion of demons have come out of him, and he's begging, "Please let me come with you. I want to follow you. I want to commit my life to you." And what does Jesus say? Jesus did not let him. What? You just delivered this guy. He's going to be an awesome witness to Christ. But Jesus said, "No. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis. Do you know what the Decapolis is? That literally means 10 cities. The guy ran around 10 cities. He went crazy. It's like, guess what? You remember me? I'm the naked guy. How much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Oh boy. A witness to miraculous deliverance. Has God delivered you from stuff? Oh, God delivered me from some stuff when I got saved. Whoa. Oh, yes. Okay, Luke 21, 12 through 15. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. Oh, happy day. Aren't you glad you came to church now? They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. While Jesus is speaking, you know, to his disciples at that time, who actually were going to face that, thank God that we're not facing that right at the moment. Could we face that in the future? Hope not. But there's no guarantee. We could suffer persecution. The scripture teaches that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13, and so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Aren't you glad that if you ever get into the hot seat, the Lord has promised that he's going to give you wisdom to know what to say? And it'll be a testimony. And sometimes people get into hot water and really hard situations, not because of any wrongdoing on their part, but they come under persecution and God puts them in a place where they're able to speak. Gives them an opportunity to bear witness and bear testimony. Glory to God. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be ready. Always be ready. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I really like the last part of this, but do this with gentleness and respect. Guess who didn't do it with much gentleness and respect when he first got saved? Your pastor was not necessarily very gentle or respectful as I was chasing people around the college campus. People would run away from me. I've told you that. They run away and I'm chasing them. Wait, I want to tell you about Jesus. Get away. Yeah, gentleness and respect. So God wants us to be ready. Be ready. I love Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. If you're looking in a King James or a New King James, it'll say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But that doesn't make much sense to me. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. If you read the New Living Translation, it says, if God has redeemed you, get out and tell your story. I love it. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And your testimony is just telling what God has done for you, how he saved you, how he's helped you. And so what if you're still a work in progress? I'm still a work in progress. Some days I feel like, how can I testify to anybody? I'm such a... Get over it. So I say to myself, I'm like, whack, whack. Sometimes I actually do that. So, come on. So I'd like to give you a spiritual exercise. It's not really a spiritual exercise, but you'll notice I gave you this little sheet with this telling thing. Remember when I asked you to consider a faith story? Well, today I have a little sheet here. How to prepare your salvation testimony. You know, if you want to share your testimony, do you think it would help to sort of think about it beforehand? How many of you would get up here and say, Mary, did you practice? Did you write things down? Did you before you came up and talked?
Right here in the parking lot.
Yeah. But you took some time and you thought about it. I don't get up and speak for that. I mean, I want to have my notes. I want to be prepared. So if you're going to say something, it really helps to take some time and be prepared. How to prepare your salvation testimony. And this is another, this little exercise, I would say, it's important to be able to do this, dare I say it, in like 3 minutes or less. I remember when I was a college student, we were at a basic retreat, and one of the guys there said, get your testimony and hone it down so you can share with somebody in just 3 minutes. They don't want to hear you talking on forever. I was like, oh, okay. I found out it was a little tough to get it all in 3 minutes. Well, you have just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. So you just keep it. So the first part, if you're on the sheet with me, it says, before I accepted Christ or gave him complete control, number one, what was my life like that will relate to the non-Christian? Well, I was one of those people who was alone, and I was really lonely. I was one of the people who didn't have any friends. I was picked on and made fun of, and I was a very unhappy person. And I was, you know, I wanted to know God, but very unhappy. And I share that with people, and I let them know. Plus, I was an angry person because I had a filthy, rotten, dirty, foul mouth. I did. I was terrible, horrible. The stuff that came out of my mouth, oh, God, have mercy. You know, I had addictions that I struggled with. I was depressed. I was probably clinically depressed. I don't know. What did my life, number two, what did my life revolve around the most? What did I get my security or happiness from? You know, people are looking everywhere desperately for security and happiness. They're looking for it everywhere. Where do they find it? Some people try to find it in a bottle or in a pill. They try to find it in their marriage. They try to find it in their job. They try to find it in their achievements. They try to find it going on a vacation. They think, if I can just get to this, I'll be happy. If I can just get a car, I'll be happy. If I can just retire, I'll be happy. And then, you know, by the time they're about 85, 90, 95 years old, it's like, when are you going to be happy? The non-Christian is relying on something, as it says here, something external to give them happiness. So tell them what you used to try to fill that. And number three, how did those areas begin to let you down? Oh boy, in my life, I know I was none of it worked, and I was a depressed person. How I received Christ. When was the first time I heard the gospel, or when I was exposed to dynamic Christianity? I had people preaching the gospel to me all the time. What was my initial reaction? I was freaked out. Weird people radar. Weird person over there. Uh-oh. Go the other way. Weird person coming at me on this side. I always like. I wanted to talk to him. But I didn't want to be seen talking to them. What will people think of me? Well, people didn't like me anyway, so what? When did my attitude begin to turn around? Oh, tell people how God began to work in your heart. Did you begin to feel the draw of the Holy Spirit? I know I did. Oh, all of a sudden I was just like, oh God, I really want to know you. What were the final struggles that went through your mind just before you accepted Christ? Some people are really broken. Some people are really angry. Some people are like, get away from me. And other people are like ready to fall on their face. Why did I go ahead and accept Christ? These are all just very general things to help kind of stir. You don't have to follow every one of these points. But I would encourage you, write it down. Tick it off. Now, you might only get a chance to share a little bite of this with somebody, but Have it at the ready. Take a few minutes. Make it prepared. After I accepted Christ or gave him complete control, specific changes and illustrations about the changes Christ made. Oh, you want to listen for a while? When I got saved, my filthy, dirty, rotten mouth vanished. It was gone. And it's not like I even had to try. It just stopped. I was a picky eater. Well, Dave, I would never have guessed you're a picky eater. Well, and I'm not bad now, but oh, was I. It's wonderful. Wonder I was alive. And when I got saved, I just remember saying, God, I have to get over this. And I remember that day, I went up to the dining hall and I ate everything. Put it all on my plate and just started eating everything. It's like instant deliverance. Share how the Lord has delivered you from things. The Lord delivered me from addiction. Glory to His name. I got prayed for. A spirit came out of me and I was free. Share those things with people. Why am I motivated differently? Well, you know, obviously now we're like, oh God, you are wonderful. You know, because we're motivated now to serve in that way. But suggestions, write the way you speak. If you write it down, just make it the way you talk. Remember, when sharing with different people, you might be led to share different parts of your story. That's okay. And practice it till it becomes natural. Well, you don't have to, you know, what I did on my summer vacation. You know, it doesn't have to be like that, but have it at the ready, but make it short so it can be put into your conversation easily, and this is important, without becoming a monologue. Oh, you don't want that. You want to avoid that if at all possible. I had an interesting, we're running short on time today. I had an interesting, I might wait till next week. Could I say a method for sharing the gospel? I kind of wanted to walk through. I think maybe I'll keep that for next week. But what I'd like to do is share just a simple, I came upon a simple illustration for sharing the gospel, and it just stuck with me because of its simplicity. You can share the gospel with your cell phone. Did you know you can share the gospel with your cell phone? Let me show you how. It's a quick, easy way. And if you look at my hand, I'm going to say that my hand represents me. This is me down here. It looks like your hand, Dave. Well, just use your imagination. So this, here's my cell phone. And my cell phone is an information device. It's a communication and recording device. And I'm going to just sort of say that this is like my life recording. This would be like a kind of a diary of my life. This is all of my sin. So here I am, and here's my life and my sin. Now here's God. And God wants to have a relationship with me. Uh-oh, there's a problem here. My sin is in the way of my relationship with God. So what does God do? He sends Jesus. And Jesus, he sent Jesus to take the penalty for our sin. And God took the sin, our sin, and placed it upon Jesus. And we can be completely forgiven. And now I can have relationship with the Father because my sin is gone and I've been forgiven. And you can, did you know you can share the gospel with your cell phone? Just a simple illustration, but of a way that God takes your sin, puts it on Jesus, and now we can have relationship with the Father. There are a lot of ways to kind of, if you get to the point of sharing the gospel, and you know, you don't get to do that all the time. You don't get to share the whole gospel, the four spiritual laws or the Roman road. I was going to share it from John 3:16, I think, though, that I'm going to save that for another day. Maybe next week we'll just look at that. It's that little half sheet that I gave you. It talks about John 3:16 and It uses, the reason that I like it is because everybody, almost everybody you talk to has at least heard of John 3:16. They might not even know what it says, but they know what John 3:16 says. And there are keywords in there that you can use to just simply share the gospel and quickly get it. And maybe we'll talk about that next time. But I encourage you, would you be willing to say, to take a few minutes and say, God, I'll write out my testimony. Just write it. You don't have to write a novel. You don't have to. It's not a 4-page essay, and no one's going to grade it. Aren't you glad? There's a few teachers here and ex-teachers here that we're not going to grade your. There's no grade. There's no. It's just sharing your story and having it ready so that you have it at the ready to share with somebody else. Then your job is, God, I wrote it down. Give me people to share it with. Can you make that your prayer? You know, if you pray that prayer, God is going to answer it. He is going to answer that prayer. I tell you, He will. He will give you people that you can share the life of Christ with. How many of you have had the experience of sharing the gospel here and there with people? Do you know what it is like when you get to do it? The joy? It is a joy to get to share the gospel with people. Oh, when every time I get to do it, I just want to shout. Like, yes, Lord, I got to give it out again. I want to motivate you. Can you pray and believe and prepare? And prepare. Remember 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give everyone an answer for the hope that lies in you. Be ready. Father, we thank you, Lord, today that when we come to know you, that we have a testimony. We have something, we have life in us that could be life to lots of other people around us, just like that woman at the well, and all she did was say, come see this great guy. Come see him. Help us to be people who run around and tell everybody, come see Jesus. Father, but Lord, too, we need opportunities. We want to do it with kindness and respect as well. We don't want to be that person running after people or being pushy. So God, we pray that you would help us. Help us as we look at this and as we prepare ourselves to be used by you in our life, in our neighborhood, at the grocery store, at the doctor's office, in town, wherever we land, at a job or however, with our family, God, that we would be able to just say, come see Jesus, He's wonderful. Come see Jesus, He loves you. Come see Him, He'll help you. Look what He's done for me. Father, thank you for the life that we have within us. Give us grace to share that abroad. And we thank you that for the power of testimony. Help us, Father. But help us, Lord. We need your grace. And especially help us to overcome fear that comes with that as we desire to share with other people. Perfect love casts out fear. Help us to really love people, Father, and be able to share life with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. If you have a prayer need today, we're here to pray for you and believe God to touch you. And God does. Testimonies have come from our prayer time of God delivering people, healing people, giving a breakthrough. And it's not because we're anything. It's because God is everything. So if you're here today and you want prayer, we would love to pray for you and believe God to move in your life. If not, then God bless you. Think on what God has done in your life. Write it out and be ready to share it with people. Father, thank you today. Bless us as we go. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, and use people and their lives and where they go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you want prayer, please feel free to come.